talking and I'm not, and I'm just and then I'm
no, but wait, wait, I have something for him.
Boom, you get shot down.
Now you're just fucking me, aren't you?
I'm just wondering why all these people like kids.
The Weird History and Eerie Tales Podcast.
Concentrating on the news. That's what we do.
Wow.
FY, there's nothing wrong.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Weird History Eerie Tales Podcast. I am your host, Mosasaur, and with me, as always, to my left is Achi.
Spooky.
And with me to my right is my brother, Josh.
You call me Spooks, bro.
Before anything, before we start this stupid-ass episode, because nothing fucking matters anymore.
The fuck broke your heart?
The death of Akira Toriyama. That was nuts. Everywhere, no matter where I looked, everybody was posting about
it. Everyone's posting
about it. I'm glad he got it.
You guys recognition he deserved?
But he also had it when he was alive, which is a good thing. He got his flowers when he was alive. You know, but it's still cool seeing everybody, like all the big, like manga artists,
bro,
like One Piece. Everyone's like, dude, if it wasn't for Akira, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Dude, even the car community.
Call him the sensei.
Bro, Mexico's heartbroken. Bro, the cartels are like, hey, ceasefire.
You know what they all did? Everyone said, raise your hands.
Yep.
And they just stayed like there for like 2 seasons.
Hey, relax.
Too soon.
Relax, too soon, bro. Too soon.
True,
man, RIP to a legend. I still can't. For me, Dragon Ball Z will always be Dragon Ball Z. I can only watch it in Spanish. To me, that's the original language. I watched it in Spanish. It's Spanish, then subbed, then dubbed. That's the hierarchy for me.
Yeah.
I stopped watching it. My brother still kept up with it, even up to the new movies and shit.
Yeah.
But it's crazy the fucking, how everyone, like you said, the car communities, bands, everyone, bro.
Of different, like, cliques of different,
just different
people.
Different people. Like, it's,
you know. And that's rare. That's rare.
Yeah.
That's fucking rare. So, rest in peace.
Mexico is mourning.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Nobody knows why Mexicans love Dragon Ball Z as much as they fucking do.
Shit, bro. Oh, you fucking love it in Spanish, so then tell us why, bro.
Well, because that's the only way we could watch it without cable. Channel 52.
Oh, okay.
So it's R.I.P. to a legend. R.I.P. R.I.P. Speaking of R.I.P.
Oh.
So,
that's a segue.
So today, if you guys haven't noticed by the title of this episode, today we're going to be talking about supernatural, unnatural ghost stories from all around the world.
Spooky dookies.
Okay, of course. Yes. Spooky dookies, Archie. Spooky dookies.
All right, we're going to go straight to Japan.
Hi, the land of the rising sun.
Yeah, the land of the rising sun. All right. We talked about this a little bit on our previous episodes, and I want to break it down. We broke down what it was, the yokai and the ghosts, but we didn't get tales of stories of people coming across this.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which I'm going to let you down, you know, because it's not that real. But I'll tell you where it originated from. So, we're talking about the Kuchisake Onna. So, for those who don't know what this is, the yokai of the ghost, it's a legend of a woman wearing a surgical mask. You've probably seen her. She has a mask on. She goes to people and saying, am I pretty? And then, depending on what you say, you'll get murked there and then.
Yeah, so she goes up to you and then she takes off the mask and reveals, what does she reveal?
Well, her big scarring from ear
her
to
Chelsea,
mouth.
Her Chelsea smile.
Correct. So she'll tell you with the mask on, if you say yes, she'll take it off and she'll show you her Chelsea grin.
She shows you after.
Yeah. If you say no, while she has a mask, she kills you immediately as well.
You're dead.
If you say yes, she's okay, motherfucker. She takes off the mask. She shows you her grin. Then she asks you again, do you think I'm pretty? And this is where it's tricky.
Like,
if you're like, no, instant death. If you say yes, but you hesitate, if she feels any sense of hesitation of you saying yes, she'll kill you. But before she does, she'll
cut your mouth.
Yeah, cut your mouth and mimic the same.
She'll put a smile on your
face.
So
in order to escape it, you either say yes with confidence.
Yeah.
Right. You fucking double down and be like, yes. Right.
And you get some spooky booty.
Legend has it, the way she gets distracted is by hard candy. So I don't know, maybe like a vampire shit, we just throw hard candy and she's like, fucking candy, fuck.
And, gotta count this shit.
Yeah.
Am I pretty Skittles?
pretty much. So that's one way of escaping her.
All right, so if I'm in Japan, I always carry Skittles.
Yeah. Some hard candy, bro.
Imagine you have
Jolly
candy.
Ranchers, bro.
Is that considered hard candy, Jolly Ranchers? Oh no, wait. Yes, they are. I was thinking Starburst.
What are you talking about?
Starburst, is that considered hard candy?
Oh,
what's the definition of a hard candy?
Just call it. I mean, that's fucking
just
taffy.
Hard
taffy. I feel like that's its own category.
It is,
because what's soft candy? Because no one calls soft candy.
See, kind of stupid ass rabbit holes we go down. It's a hard.
There you go. Now we have a poll to post up on our Instagram. All right, is
people are going to start what fucking hard episodes candy. Is talking about?
Okay, so there's some yokais or some legends are born and created through fear and rumors, right? Those are some legends of certain yokais that they really never existed until people started rumor. People actually believed it. There's certain anime out there. I think Mob Psycho 100 or Gege Kitaro, where they talked about certain. That's all based on yokais and ghosts like that. And one of them was based on a creation of pop culture of people created this creature, but it led to rumors and people believed it, and it was created by the fears
by the psyche.
Of that realm in which it manifested to something real. And they said that she was part of this,
manifestation, that fear manifestation.
And it started, it resurfaced back in 1970s, where actual newspapers brought back the legend of this,
yokai.
And it got to the point where, again, this yokai would primarily target kids,
right?
The rumors. So it got to the point where all these rumors and was spreading like wildfire. So fucking kids were, young children were sometimes accompanied by members of parent teacher associations. So the kids won't go home alone.
So it
got to that point where it's like, hey, we don't want to fuck around and find out. I guess there were some disappearances in some cases where it's
like, already happening.
Yeah. So it's like, fuck that. And then this got out. So they're like, fuck that. So it was accompanied. Kids were traveled with parents and other supervision.
I love how 90% of all these urban legend creatures, monsters, whatever, they're on that fuck them kids train. I love it.
Pretty much.
I fucking love
it. Keep things safe, bro. And that's pretty much the background of the story behind of Kuchisaka Ona for that. Yeah. So and then it just blew up all over pop culture. It came out different shows, anime,
short films,
manga, and all that. So,
oh, yeah.
But again, it's crazy to think like, you know, certain stuff.
Manifestations
based on, you know, your emotions and fears. So.
So here is a little short horror story about this guy, or this lady, pregnant lady, right? So she starts her little story with, a few years ago, when I was on my third trimester of pregnancy, I would only be able to fall asleep when dawn came. Just as I was about to fall asleep one night, I felt pressure on the end of the bed, near my feet, as if someone, very heavy, sat on the bed. Which was weird, because I didn't hear anyone come into the room, no creaking door, no footsteps, nothing. Just then, an eerie voice spoke straight into my mind. The language was unintelligible and distorted. I knew it wasn't human, but to my surprise, I understood what it was trying to say.
Uh-oh.
My brain processed it easily, as if I had learned the language somewhere in the past. It asked me to pray my morning prayer. I was too sleepy and too scared.
First, she was sleepy, not scared.
She was like,
I'm fucking tired, bruh. Damn.
So she was like, I was too sleepy and too scared to actually open my eyes. What if its face was suddenly right in front of my nose? So I responded in my head, communicating without actually opening my mouth to say a word. Later, please. I'm so tired.
I didn't get. Head.
I didn't I'm tired, get. Grandpa.
I didn't get any sleep. After I said so, the weight on the end of my bed lifted. The air, which was previously heavy with presence, became light and clear. I opened my eyes a little and saw the earliest morning light gleam through my window. My door stood still. No one came in or out. I fell back to sleep.
Then the ghost was like, all right.
Yeah, the ghost is like, you know what? All right.
I respect that.
You're pregnant. All right. So some people say this is a djinn. This was a djinn that came into a room.
Oh, shit.
Because these, so I'm speaking of East Asia, mostly Indian. Mostly Indian horror stories,
right?
From India. So this one was a little blog about what is like someone called it, or someone's like, oh, tell me your djinn stories, and this is one of them. This is one of the djinn stories, and supposedly djinns, as we all know, they're kind of like low key. They're pranksters, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The pranksters are kind of like malicious, but not like super deadly in some cases. So what she said was like, Whatever it was, the djinn wanted me to start my morning prayer so maybe it could start fucking with me and, you know, and disturb me while I prayed.
But dude respected her honesty, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm tired. He's like, damn. Been there before.
The djinn was like, this is no fun no more.
But the way she described it, it was just like the way she was like, with a weird, eerie, distorted voice, I could just picture, finish your morning prayer. She's like, yeah. I'm tired. Okay.
Well, that's too damn bad.
I'm getting paid enough for this shit. Fuck!
Runs out, dude. Now we're going into Malaysia and Indonesia.
Oh.
The Ponyak. That's the name of the vengeful spirit. And it's described. Ponyo? Yeah, Ponyo.
Ponyak?
Yeah, Ponyak. So it's the Pontiac. So it's a vengeful spirit of a woman who died during childbirth. That's the origin of it.
Okay.
Right. She appears as a beautiful woman with long hair, like every fucking female ghost, long hair, wearing a white dress. And she preys on men, luring them into the forest before revealing her true form, which is a pale face, long nails, looks like she got fucking trampled, dirty, and just tears them apart with her claws.
Oh, shit.
The thing about in Indonesia and Malaysia... swamps and forests, that's like the that's where most evil spirits tend to reside on in that area. And yeah, so going into doing my research and going to like, you know what, I want to see more encounters and people's stories on that. I want to say these are somewhat real, as real as it could get, I should say. And they're mainly based on locals and people in the military that are based over there. And most of the stories for the locals there or from here that moved over there and just telling stories of Reddit and stuff, the signals or the signs of this spirit being near is either the smell of decaying body, so just death, or the scent of sweetness of a certain flower, right? And this... certain stories in Reddit that I read, they were short, but they were just, hey, I went shopping, and I have to cross through this little forest area, and I know the area, and I smelt the strong odor of the sweet flower, right? And they're like, uh-oh. First, they're like, oh, it smells so good, and then they realize, wait, this type of flower is not in this region. It's deeper in the forest. Right, so once he smelled it, they're like, "Fuck that! I'm not gonna fuck around and find out." And they
ran
to just run home, right? And that's usually the story of the locals there, where they usually smell that strong. If you smell that, that's like a sign of, like, okay,
danger,
stranger, right?
Danger.
Obviously, if you're in the area where it's like that flower is blossoming, and it's like, oh, okay,
everyone dies. Sure.
It's 50-50. You're about to get jumped by a mob of There's like 17 of them. It's a whole gang.
Yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't wait and fuck around find out and look for this. But I'll be like, ooh, okay.
Well, if I'm walking somewhere and I start smelling, I'm swinging. I'm swinging in air. Hoping I hit something.
Like those fucking videos of people are freaking taking a piss or something in the bathroom. It's late at night.
They're just swinging
at the curtains.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Swing first, ask questions later, sir.
What was that? Trying to catch my ghost slack or slack. Slack into brushing his teeth, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Swing. Swings hard as fuck. Bro.
Yeah, and then there was another story of like NPs, military polices, that kind of said the same thing. One went in depth where...
Please tell me they knew about this before. That
yeah, segment. Yeah. Okay. So one was a Chinese, other one was a local there. Mm. And they always had a partner with them from the local area. And they were doing like their patrol, obviously around 3, 4 a.m.,
right.
2 to 3 a.m. And there was like this infamous or renowned lighthouse, a yellow lighthouse, where they always had to go and patrol, but it was always dead. And only... it was open to the public, right? So that was always shut off for public. It's only military and stuff like that. Mm. So they're patrolling, doing their scout, whatever. And then the scout went out and he chirped his partner, just yelling at him, like, why the fuck are you not out here with me? You
know? Oh, shit.
He was like, dude, no one's like, it's just you. There's, no one's going to be out there.
Yeah.
He was just staring at him a new one because he didn't come out with him to patrol. He stayed in the car, and then so he's coming back, and he gets in the car, and then while he's reversing, they smell this, like, sweetness.
Oh, shit.
Like, what the fuck? And they're out, like...
In the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. Basically. Right? And there was no fucking thing, and the next you know, they hear, like, a slamming sound on top of the car. Boom. And then you hear the... kind of, they described it as scratching the chalkboard. Just...
Oh.
And he just floored it. Floored it, went back to base, and
shot the roof the whole time.
Yeah, unloaded, right? That's right. I was like, why didn't you just fucking unload or whatever?
But imagine if showing back to base and it's 3 a.m. and the whole roof is shot up. Your commander's like,
that's the thing.
What the fuck?
Well, that's the thing. So they went back to base. Yeah. And it was just them. They licked the rooftop and just massive claw marks on top.
Oh, massive.
They're like, hey, let's just make up a story, right, that they'll believe because they didn't want to say what happened because then they're going to make fun of them.
Right.
And they're like, we don't want to get make fun of. So they
made this bullshit story. So we got to talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah. So they made up this fucking, you know, this made up story. I don't know what they, how they sold it or what direction they went with this story. And yeah, but the main reason because they didn't want to get made fun of. So.
Make him, ha ha! You saw a ghost. What? Like,
yeah.
It's like my dick from the back. Like, how is that? How does that make me a coward? Because I saw something you didn't.
Like, ha! You got spooked by the fucking bitch.
Ha ha! You saw something no one else believes in.
That's pretty much how they thought they were going to be getting fucking ridiculed. But yeah. So if you're in Indonesia or Malaysia. And you're near a forest or a swamp.
Or a lighthouse.
Yeah, or a lighthouse. You know, don't fuck around and find out, you know.
Yeah, watch some smells. Sweet,
and then just keep walking. Keep walking.
I wonder why there was So they were close to the ocean then.
In this particular area, yeah.
I would just run into the water.
There's one more, same, like, MPs. They were sent off to, like, a big-ass tree branch. Was blocking a road, a certain important road. So they were sent off to move this big ass log. And there was about like 4 or 5 of them. They arrived. Again, they had some locals there as well. And they were like, the dude telling stories. All right, I got one end of the big ass branch, the other one, the other three got the other side. And once they were about to carry it, he heard the two locals and the other NP on the other side screaming.
Uh-huh.
And he heard like something ran into the fucking bushes.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, what the fuck? And then the three on that side was screaming at the other guys to get back in the car. So he was fuck. So they ran back to the truck and they floored it out. Boom. And they were talking in their language. And the dude's like, dude, like, speak, I think he said speak English. So I'm part of the team. Like, you know, like, Don't leave me out.
Tell me.
What are you guys talking about? And they mentioned that they saw the fucking...
Pontiac.
Yeah, the Pontiac. And yeah, and he was like, fuck. Like, if these guys really sprinted out, I was like, shit. Like, it must... He was like, it must be the thing that I heard.
Rustling.
That was rustling.
Yeah, that rustling through the fucking thing and going up.
Did it describe what it looked like or anything like that?
In this particular story, no. Yeah. No. They didn't get to the description.
Uh-huh.
But I guess from what they saw, they automatically just assumed it was...
They knew what that shit was.
So here's another story from India, of course. This is a little shorter one. Right? This one, it's kind of fucked up. Not really, but I... whatever. So the story goes like this. I was 7 years old, and it was a Durg Puja, which is a 10-day holy celebration in India, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying, and my family decided we're going to leave after midnight. At 11:30 p.m., my mom asked me to go downstairs and wait with my dad. When everybody had gathered downstairs, I was missing. They started looking for me, and even the neighbors gathered around. My mom thought I must be in the washroom upstairs, so she went upstairs to look for me. Uh-oh. Instead, she heard my laughter from the attic adjacent to the terrace.
Hell, near.
She went upstairs and heard me saying, give me the ball, otherwise how else will we continue to play? Right then, she saw a ball bounce towards me.
Oh, shit.
She picked me up and rushed downstairs and asked my dad to lock the attic. I have no memory of how I got to the attic or playing with anyone. It wasn't until many years later that my mother confessed that when she went to the attic to look for me, that she saw me play with the spirit of my grandfather.
Damn. But is that a good thing or a bad thing, though?
Apparently a bad thing, because the mom was like, fuck this! And just jolted and just fucking blocked the attic.
The mom was like, I fucking hate you, suegro.
There's a lot of those stories where a lot of stories...
You have a story with that one kid over there in Mexico, no? Remember the little kid that fucking... That would reside in my grandma's house? Do you remember his name? The fucker's
name?
The
kid that would reside in your grandma's house?
Yeah, he's rent-free too, bro.
So there was... In my grandma's house, it was two stories.
Okay.
Right? It's two stories. But the thing about my grandma's house that was really fucking weird... All the rooms... So imagine, so it's the best way I could describe it. Imagine it's kind of like an apartment complex.
It's like an hacienda.
No. What?
Hacienda.
What's an hacienda?
No.
What?
Wait, what's an hacienda?
It's like, have you seen that fucking movie, that Disney movie about all the family members that have all fucking powers and shit? That they're all in this house? And it's basically like there's rooms, but it's all.
It's like outdoor.
Like outdoor type of thing.
Yeah. No. Kind of, right?
There's like a patio, like a little center area, and from that center area you could go to whatever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But the center area has no roof.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my grandma's house. Okay.
Yeah.
Right? They had just built rooms up on the second
floor.
That's
crazy. That's so fucking common. Like, those were the first style of homes. You don't just build over it, you just build around them.
Yeah, it was just like, all right. So.
What? You're so pissed off, bro.
No. Dumb. What?
Yeah, so I'm upstairs, brand new room, whatever. And there's been stories of a little kid. Of little kids.
Okay.
Right?
Little kids.
Oh, plural. No. Of a little kid.
Okay.
Right? Little kids, my cousins, they've been known to play with this ghost kid.
Oh, shit.
Where they hear laughter. They someone kids. Someone hears laughter.
Yeah.
Bunch of two, three kids laughing. They go up and it's just one of my cousins.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
My mom had an incident, the same thing.
Yeah.
Where my mom thought I had walked in when I was younger, she thought I had walked into a hall going into my grandma's room, coming down the steps, making a left to go into my grandma's room. So my mom was about to go walk in to look after me when I'm coming. She's about to turn left because she thought I was walking in to the left. I walked into that room to the left, and she's been coming out from head from
the opposite side.
From the opposite side. So there's been stories like that, right?
Yeah.
I was 14, 15, got to Mexico, got there, and when we got there, it was Christmas time, so it was Christmas celebration or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was a bunch of carnivals and festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Won a bunch of shit, baller, right? Balling out of control. So I took all the toys I won, I took them to my room, right? And one of the things that I had won was a little hand, like a little basketball that you could hold onto. Like with one hand. In this room, brand new room, there was nothing in there. Nothing, literally nothing. They had me sleeping on a bunch of cobijas.
Hell yeah.
It was a brand new room. They didn't.
I was just. No bed, no frame, no nada.
I was the only person up on the second floor.
Right.
There's like three rooms. This is two rooms. There was me. There's two rooms that were on one end. You go down the hall, the open hall, but it's just fucking like against the terrace, the roof. There's another apartment where my cousins, they weren't there. And across from them was one of my uncles. They weren't there. So I was the only one on the fucking second floor.
Yeah.
No one was there.
Scary. Bunch of other empty rooms.
Empty rooms. I go, and not even go to sleep. I close my eyes and I hear the basketball. Bink, 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 bink. I open my eyes. The ball is still. I'm like, what the fuck? Close my eyes. Bink, 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 bink. Someone's bouncing the ball.
Yeah.
And it's a room with nothing in there. So the echo is loud as fuck. So I open my eyes again. The ball is still where it was.
He was like, I'm going to catch you, motherfucker. Bink.
So I'm like, all right, whatever.
She closed your eyes, got up, and just swung.
The minute you start hearing bink, bink.
So then I close my eyes for the third time, and then I hear the ball move. Like, I hear the ball bink, bink, but it's no longer moving as fast. Yeah. Like if someone's like, bing, 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 bing. So this time I open my eyes and I see the ball just drop. Just drop and just not bounce.
Just stay there.
Just like, you know, like when you're playing soccer and you drop the ball and then you step on it.
Yeah.
It did that movement where it just stopped.
Damn.
But the ball was by the door. I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, I'm too scared to run. So I did the rational thing. I turned around and I put on my CD player and listened to Avenged Sevenfold until I fell asleep. That's the only CD I had. This back then during the CD player days.
It was listening to freaking Backcountry.
Nah, it was on Holy Confessions.
Oh yeah.
It was on Holy Confessions.
Oh yeah.
So I just listened to that. I fell asleep. The next morning.
How old are you when this was happening?
14.
Dying.
The next morning when I woke up, all the toys were neatly organized up on one wall.
Fuck.
Like, yeah. They were just, because I had just, when I walked in, it was just like, I had them in, shit. Yeah, just, and everything was on the floor.
Yeah.
Everything was just thrown to one side.
And the boy was annoyed. He was like, fuck, I can't bounce this ball with all this crap around.
See, who's this fuck coming to my room throwing shit all over the floor?
Nah, the little kid was happy. He's like, oh, see, this kid, he's bringing gifts. Good. Yeah, all right, you won't die today.
After that, we were like, I'm going to just go to a different room.
I told my aunt, whatever.
Yeah.
And then by that time, when I told my aunt, I told my grandma, she's like, don't worry, everyone else is coming back. Because that night, I slept up there by myself because more people were coming.
Right.
So then the next day, I had my cousins over, and we were just like, all right, cool. And then I told everyone's like, yeah, that happens. And what do you mean it fucking happens?
Like, don't worry, you'll have backup. This time.
I was like, what the fuck? No. That's what happens.
Now we're going to the Philippines, motherfucker.
Oh, those are the worst, bro.
Philippines, you motherfucker.
Filipino ghost stories are the worst. Now, Filipinos are pretty cool. Just want to clarify that.
I was like, whoa.
I was like, whoa, dude.
Bro.
I was like, hold on. Wait. Whoa. What are you saying, dude? What? I still can't get over that. No. What? Oh, shit. So, we're going to the Philippines, and this ghost, it's known as a white lady. Female ghost.
Karen. It's always a white lady, bro.
It's Karen.
Yeah. It's fucking Karen, it's dude. The ghost of Karen. Karen's. Yeah, so, the Karen lady. And this ghost, the white lady, is often seen on the street called the Balate Drive Road there in
the what drive?
Balate.
Balate.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Drive Road. The thing that makes this street very creepy is that the street's not very well lit, and that's because of big ass fucking trees that will block a lot of the lamppost, and also the nearby houses, they were all surrounded by high reached fucking concrete walls. So trees, big ass concrete walls surrounding the houses, so it left the street feeling abandoned and fucking alone and dark and empty.
Shit.
And this is where
Karen resides.
Oh yeah. Or hell no.
She described as like the typical white dress. Her face is obscured by her long hair. And this is a legend of her origin, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's different origins on her. Some say that she was raped and killed by Japanese soldiers. There, she was murdered in a taxi, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the two main like stories and origin mm-hmm. of why she's a soul-seeking revenge ghost, mm-hmm. like a bad ghost. And yeah, so that's one side. If you see her, it's usually like, get the fuck out of there or you will die. There's other legends that say she's a warning of some type of impending danger. Mm-hmm. So if you see her, you're like, oh, something's bad's going to happen, right? And these souls in the Philippines are called Ormulto, Multo, and most of these souls, they describe them as they haven't gone to the other side because they have unfinished business to do. They're crying for justice, right? Or they just simply lost and can't find their way to the next stage of life.
When you call souls like that, is that technically considered the purgatory or is that something else?
What?
When they're like roaming souls that like are kind of fucking stuck.
No, purgatory is... well, I guess, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because they're not in hell. Well, in between, sometimes that's kind of considered purgatory. Mm.
And for this specific story of this Multo, this ghost, since she was murdered, right, legends say that she's still wandering the street and like, trying to hitchhike and get people, lure people, because mm-hmm. she's seeking for her murderers.
Oh.
So describing the justice or the unfinished business, in her case, she wants to kill the people that killed her.
Right.
Right. So, but till this day, most taxi drivers, they kind of hesitate to pass through this, this road, this street because of how much legends, how much occurrence and encounters people, dealt with this, lady in the white dress. And yeah. And this is one of many of the Multo lost souls in the Philippines, but the white lady.
I'd be confused. If I was like, let's say if I was like a Filipino, uh-huh. and let's say it was a tourist, a white lady, uh-huh. I'd be like, I know it's not a ghost, that's a white lady. What's a white lady ghost doing here?
I think they described her as a white lady because of her white dress.
No, I know, but what are you saying as a tourist? It's like, what if you're a tourist wearing a white dress and you try to get a cab?
Oh.
Like, regardless of what color you fucking are, but like, you're just wearing
a white dress?
Predominantly just white.
Long black hair.
Yeah, yeah. Like you are wearing what people would describe that lady was wearing. And you just didn't fucking know that was a fucking thing.
Damn. You're invited to an all white party, right? What's that party called? The theme? Where you just wear nothing but white?
All white, called? All white party.
Is just all white
party. Or a white out party.
Yeah.
A white out? You got invited to a white out.
Yeah, you got invited to a white out.
Damn.
You have long black hair. You're like, all right, cool. I just need a taxi. You know, get to the party, bro. Get to the function.
Yeah, and they're like,
hey, taxi. And they're like, go fuck yourself. It wasn't me.
Taxi. Fuck.
He just yells at
He crashes into a wall, dies. Now he's looking for vengeance.
Damn.
And he's like, now I must kill the lady in the white dress.
Fuck.
So now that ghost on the
taxi? Hell yeah, seeking all the freaking white ladies.
Like, don't walk down the street in a white dress, because if you do, a ghost taxi is going to run your ass over. It's going to pick you up and charge you double. What do you mean it's $800? Pay now!
Oh my god. So speaking of, things are a little bit brighter than usual.
Uh-oh.
If you ever find yourself in Argentina during the summertime, stay wary of floating lights that have no explanation as to how this light is floating in midair. So this is known as La Luz Mala, translated to the bad light.
Nazi lights.
Nazi lights. Also known as the Devil's Lighthouse or Mandiga's Lighthouse.
Or Lights of the Fiora.
The Fiora lights. And then you see a freaking floating swastika.
The lights Damn. Form a swastika.
Damn.
And then your hand just starts raising. Like, oh, no! No! Fuck!
fuckos, bro.
There you go.
Yeah. And so usually people who see this light describe it as either a bright reddish or bright whitish, almost like borderline blue, that appears at night.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, no one really knows the reason as to why this appears, and some believe that it's the spirit of the deceased who have been stuck on Earth, cursed to roam for all of eternity. And others believe that this is the devil awaiting to prey on those who are curious enough to touch it. Regardless, however, it is said that the appearance of this strange phenomenon is most prominent on August 24th, which is St. Bartholomew's Day. And this one, out of all the other two urban legends that I was reading about, there's actually a video or video encounters of La Luz Mala. And we'll post them up on our Instagrams. But to describe it, there's one of a couple that were driving in the fucking middle of nowhere. Like, it's just a dirt road and just grass. Like, on the sides of shit.
Yeah.
And they were just freaking roaming.
So there's a Riverside.
Right? Yeah, it's Riverside.
Yeah, because that's what Riverside consists of, right?
And then just from like grass, from out of far, they think that's like a fucking motorcycle, you know, going towards them and shit. Mm-hmm. And so they're driving.
It's getting closer.
That light, you know, it's not, they're getting closer to the light, but the light is still staying still.
Oh.
Because they thought it was something that was incoming. They're like, what the fuck is this light doing here in the middle of nowhere?
Something's incoming real fast.
Yeah. It's you. And so they get closer, and it's off to the right, and it's literally just a ball of light just floating there. And
just one? Like,
just one. And they're like, what the fuck? Well, thought it was a motorcycle. We're like, what is this shit? How is that even fucking happening? It's the middle of fucking nowhere. And another one was actually in the daylight, and similar type of scenario out in the fucking middle of nowhere field, but they're like pointing at something, and at first you don't see shit. Start zooming in, and you see kind of like this kind of floating aura. Like, it almost looks like a will-o-wisp.
Oh.
Just like, and like in a bluish hue.
Did they touch it?
Nah, but they were from far away because they were zooming in on it.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're like, what the fuck? This is shit. But everyone's too fucking scared to go close. They're like, I'm not going to fuck around and find out. And so there hasn't been any, at least videos that I've seen, where they actually go touch the light. They're just like, they're just observing it from afar, and like, see it from there.
What if you become a superhero?
I mean, well, what if you die?
You become Shazam?
You become a Power Ranger?
Damn.
That's crazy about the fucking, the light sphere.
Yeah.
Last year, I went camping, and I went with the big group. We went to Joshua Tree in the desert, right? And within that group, there's two veterans. There's two veterans, and these guys saw action. They're very humble. They're the type where, you know, like they don't bullshit. You like, get me? And it was around probably 11, 12. So it was like 11 p.m., midnight. We're all by the bonfire and stuff.
Yeah.
And then one of the girls decided to do like a late night fucking jog around our campsite. Yeah, it was a dumb mistake.
And she, and a dumb decision.
Yeah, that's the starting of a fucking horror movie. And these guys went to go look for her. Like, dude, she's taking
a minute.
Yeah, a good minute. So it was two or three of them. Two of them were the veterans. The other one's just part of the group.
Right.
And they all went. And they took a while. It took about almost 45 minutes. Right. And
looking for her?
Yeah, looking for her. And they came back without her. And, right. And they came back, whatever. One of them was like, dude, it's fucking weird. And I was like, the fuck's going on? He was like,
and did the homegirl take like a light or something?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, she should have. But the thing that they saw was, they're like, dude, we saw from afar. There was, again, this is like in the desert. Like, there's no trail to get there. This is like off trail.
Off course.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Off course. And he said he saw three spheres. Three light,
right,
going together in a perfect like a movement of directions. Yeah, like movements, all aligned together.
Yeah,
and he checked the map, whatever, and he's like, "There's no campground. This is just off course."
Yeah,
and he was like, "This is extremely strange because I've seen coordinations and stuff like that when I was on the field and stuff like, and this is something that I can't really explain. He's right. Like, he's like, oh, I don't want to say it's something paranormal, but for my background and for my, you know, observation,
yeah. I was like, I'm not saying it's paranormal. I'm just saying it's not normal.
Yeah. Pretty much. But he was so calm about it and shit. And then he was like, yeah, it was so weird how these three lights were moving in sync perfectly in these like weird angles.
Formations.
Right. He was like, because if there's three people with lights on their chest or whatever, right. It's going to be some different. All staggered stuff. But this is very synced together.
Especially since it's off course. It's not fucking stable ground.
It was from afar.
Yeah.
So they said they tried to point their lights at it. Uh-huh. Right. But nothing. There was no response.
Just kept going.
Yeah. So going to the spheres and light. Fierce thing. She was never found. No, I'm just kidding. Like fucking maybe 15 minutes later after they came back, she came back.
They're like, what the fuck were you?
Yeah, she
went. She's like, what do you mean? I was only gone for 5 minutes.
And she didn't say that she saw shit.
No,
she said I just got jumped by three lights.
Now we're going back. To Japan, once again.
R.I.P.
Japan, bro.
R.I.P. Japan?
Japan, bro.
R.I.P. I mean, they almost...
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean.
This time we're visiting the Nopera Bu. Probably heard of it. Nopera? Nopera Bu.
Nopera. Spooky dude.
And these are the faceless ghosts. You've probably seen these yokais or these ghosts where... Mm. They shaped as humans. They look like humans. And when they turn around and face you, they have a blank face. It's like, no. Oh. It looks like an egg.
Right.
It's blank.
They're getting swung on.
They what?
They're getting swung on. Some no face is trying to scare me. But I'm going to swing out. I bet you didn't see that coming.
It's like one of those little model figurines that people like sketch to learn how to do movement.
Exactly. Yes. And they often wander in like deserted streets, right?
Yeah.
Or in some cases, like in gatherings, big locations, stuff like that. And there's a lot of accounts, which I'm gonna say some of the stories that people dealt with this yokai. With the Nopera Bu. So they're mainly not dangerous. They're more like pranksters.
Okay.
But there's been, again, according to rumors and stories, extreme cases where people do get scared and they die because they have heart attack, right? To the extreme of being that scared.
That's not the ghost's fault. It's your fault for being a bitch.
Damn.
All
right.
Well, you're going to die because I said boo? Okay. Sounds like a you problem.
Worse, they didn't even say anything.
Yo. Yeah, probably. Fuck. And so there's a lot of stories. One of them was based on a samurai where... Samurai was adventuring, going back home, and he came across this lady crying middle of nowhere.
Right.
As a samurai, he goes up trying to like, hey, madam distress, are you okay? Whatever. And then when she looked up, turned around, blank expression, long hair, no face.
Damn.
Samurai got freaked out, stormed back to his house.
Decapitated her.
Right. Stormed back. Got to his house, told his wife, and the wife turned around, and she's like, does she look like this?
Oh!
And she started to erase her face. And yeah, and that's one of the legendary stories of this quote-unquote true encounter of... Yeah, did so samurai murdered everyone.
She's like, did she look like a bitch? Wipes her face clean. The bitch!
The bitch!
Yeah, you fucking seppuku.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
Nah, I'm doing murder, dude. She's getting decapitated.
She's next.
Manslaughter for sure.
Oh.
But the most interesting encounter wasn't in Japan.
What was that?
It was in Hawaii.
Oh.
And this is in 1959. So, again, surprisingly, it's not in Japan, right? And the witness said that she watched the woman combing her hair in the woman's restroom, in the drive-in theater. She went into the restroom. She did her thing. She saw a lady combing her hair.
Right. Hmm.
So when the witness went to wash her hands and got closer to this individual, she noticed something strange. Suddenly, the other woman turned to her face and revealed her featureless face. The woman scared shitlessly, right? Backtrack, fell, and just started screaming and ran out of the restroom screaming hysterically. The witness was reported to have what people claimed a nervous breakdown after her visit of the hospital. But people are saying, no. Again, Hawaii is a culture that revolves around different ethnicities, and more right. predominantly it's Japanese as well. And some of the Japanese people were like, no, what you saw was
what's this,
and explained it.
Fucking boo.
But clinically, they discharged her as just her having a spontaneous nervous breakdown yeah. in the driving restroom. But that was creepy. And it was in Japan. It was in Hawaii. Talent. So these ghosts are traveling too.
Oh, yeah.
These fuckers.
The Uso.
The Boo.
So this one is a secondhand story. Again, India. Right? This is what the author wrote. It's a secondhand story about my brother-in-law's uncle, who was a doctor in a small town in South India. We're going to call him Dr. I. So one night after closing his clinic, he was asleep at home. There was a knock on the door of his home, and Dr. I's grandmother, she opened the door. In front of his grandmother was a person, in the dark, in the dead of night, asking in the local tongue for the doctor to help his wife, who was pregnant and was in urgent need of medical care. The grandmother didn't want to disturb her son, Dr. I, so she basically said, he's resting, please come back in the morning. However, he was very insistent and persisted, citing that it was very urgent and that his wife was very critical. On hearing all the commotion at the front door, Dr. I woke up and, after understanding the situation, agreed to help the man. He packed any medical equipment he thought he would use and left with the stranger to assist his wife. Given that this is a small rural town in India, flooded street lights are not very common. Therefore, on the way to his home, where his wife needed help, the whole route was pitch black without much lighting. So Dr. I still hadn't seen the stranger clearly. He could only make out that he was wearing some clothes. You know, the stranger kept telling him how sorry he was for disturbing him so late that night, and that his wife was truly in need of medical attention. So along the way, the stranger turned towards a graveyard, which made the doctor halt and ask the obvious. Why are we cutting through a graveyard? The stranger responded that his home was behind the graveyard, and thus cutting through it would be the shortest route towards his home. Dr. I agreed to follow him despite not being completely convinced. He thought that at least it made some sense, and there was no reason to doubt him anyways. So walking through the graveyard, they walked close to an area with a lamppost, which gave some better lighting. At this point, the doctor couldn't believe it. But despite trying to locate the stranger's face, he couldn't see anything. Anything at all. No torso, no head, no legs, no arms, just clothes. All he could see was clothes hanging, walking in the air by themselves.
Invincible Man? For real.
At this point, he obviously tried to hide his shock and urgently tried to think of an excuse to get the fuck out of there. So he told the figure that he had forgotten some of the key equipment and needed to go back home to get it. Despite the stranger's insistence that it isn't required and just let it be, you're good. Just come help my wife. The doctor somehow tried to get out of it, signing the equipment. He's like, dude, it's very important. If you want, look, just so you know, I'll come back. I'm going to leave my bag of equipment right here with you so you know that I'm going to come back. I just need to go get these few things and I'll be back. Here, I'll leave this so you know I'm fucking coming back. Hoping that the stranger thought that he was hurrying to get the equipment rather than to escape. So once home, he told his mom what had happened, both of whom stayed vigilant throughout the night. They locked the doors, closed the windows, closed the blinds. We are staying vigilant throughout the night. But he eventually managed to get some shut-eye. In the morning, still shocked by the events of last night, the doctor went into work as usual and tried to go about his everyday business as to forget about what had happened.
Leaving his shit and everything.
During the day, the local mayor, chancellor, basically someone in a high post at the town's local government, had come to the doctor's clinic to get his son checked up. While they were talking, while doing small talk, the doctor mentioned how the local government could do more to install streetlights so as to improve visibility at night. He cited yesterday's instance as an example. Without getting into details, basically suggested that he could see that he couldn't see anything while following a potential patient. The mayor seemed intrigued by this example, so he asked,
"Tell me more, doctor. Yeah. Tell me fucking more."
So he asked, that's basically what he said. He's like, "Oh, well, tell me more. Explain further." The doctor gave a little more details, but he still omitted the detail about him basically seeing what was an invisible figure. The mayor seemed interested, but calm. And thus, he requested the doctor drop by his office when he had closed the clinic. Still scared by the event of last night and not worried about what revelations may lay with the mayor, the doctor closed the clinic earlier than usual and went to the mayor's office. While there, the mayor asked for a clear and more frank assessment of the events told in the afternoon. Once the doctor revealed the complete truth, the mayor removed three files of doctors from his desk. Thinking that these were prospective doctors that may be invited to the small town, Dr. I was impressed and happy that more doctors were being invited into the small town in need of more medical expertise.
Like, hell yeah.
However, the mayor said that these three doctors had gone missing previously in similar circumstances that had been experienced by the doctor himself the night before, where they had all been visited at their home, lured by a medical emergency late at night into that graveyard, and then never seen again.
Shit!
This obviously shocked the doctor even more, and he started being more vigilant, particularly at night.
Okay. Got it, boss. Fucking dickhead. Yeah.
All right, so we're going back again.
Where are we going?
Malaysia.
To Malaysia.
Yep. And this time we're talking about the Toyol. Not Toyota. Toyol.
The Toyol?
Yeah, Toyol. Yol. Toyol.
Toyol.
Yep, Toyol. And this fucker is a mischievous little spirit summoned by black magic.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
He only gets spawned by black magic. By dark magic. That's even better. Oh, gosh. By evil magic. There you go. Better? No? Probably not. But mainly by shamans. Shamans themselves who practice and steal these unborn souls. And its description is based on small, grotesque creatures resembling like a baby with sharp teeth. Usually glowing red eyes, green. It looks like a little fucking goblin, essentially. That's what the little fuckers look like. And the Toyol is often used to commit theft, petty crimes, or wreck havoc. But they can turn on its master if it's mistreated.
What?
Yeah. So let me give you another description on
this. They could turn on their...
On their masters.
Oh!
On their masters.
They could turn on... I thought you meant like they get the master like turned on. Oh, no. And they turn on their masters.
No.
Like if they get mistreated, they're like, ooh.
No. Okay, let's... Fuck. Let's clarify this. No. Obviously, they're going to fuck your master, but no. That's... All right. Another description of these fuckers that's more dark, right? They're largely believed that the Toyol is a distorted spirit of an infant who died before it was born. Okay?
Oh, shit.
And at this time, a Bormol, or a witch doctor, summons the spirit of the dead baby and binds it to an owner through ritualistic procedures of black magic so that the small spirit now owes favors and is now owned by its owner now. And the Toyol spirit is bound to a new reanimated body that is fashioned from bits of dead body parts, and it's usually bones that are usually tied into it. And their size usually is different. Yeah. There's differences in sizes, and some of the Bomos, witch doctors, sell these Toyols in bottles. So if you look up Toyol, sometimes you see them in a little fucking bottle, and Yeah.
Those and usually, little formaldehyde type of looking jars?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. And most of these toyos are only used for petty crimes, for theft, nothing more.
Imagine
so,
you're
so it's like it's like you're having your own, I don't say pet, but yeah. And there's this video I found on YouTube, which we'll post it up probably in our IG of these kids playing guitar and music, and next you know they see what they claim to be a toyol. Again, the fucking it's pixelated as fuck.
Hell yeah.
But that's what makes it even more
that eerie. Razor camera.
Yeah. This was posted, I checked, it was like 15 years ago.
Oh, shit.
So this is back in 2008.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, on Razor, YouTube. Razors.
Yeah.
The fucking psychics.
And the way, yeah. So that was very creepy on the encounter of the Toyo.
Fucking.
Yeah, there's another account where someone found a Toyol offshore in the bottle, and they took it to the local museum.
Oh, the museum.
And it was declared that, oh yeah, this is a Toyol. And the owner of the museum describes it as seeing just the red eyes and just being alive, but in just trapped in the bottle.
Oh,
yeah. Hell. So that's like creepy.
No.
Like, oh, shit.
So the Sombrerón is this urban legend that's basically the boogeyman primarily from Guatemala.
Uh-oh.
And one of the most popular tales follows the story of a woman named Susana who lived in what was former Antigua Guatemala. One summer night, Susana was outside on her balcony watching the stars when she heard a captivating melody played from afar. She noticed that the music got closer and that she was able to see a glimpse of a short man dressed all in black with ornaments resembling that of Charro, with dark, skinny boots, large, shiny belt buckle, and of course, an incredibly large black sombrero playing a silver guitar. And then Susana noticed that the man was singing directly to her. She became entranced, wanting nothing else but to be a slave to the music.
Bro, he was singing Too Short, bro. Gangster Strippers, bro.
He was singing that one guitar song, like that one video, that black dude with the guitar. It's like, I love you, bitch. Spring.
She was in a sort of spell that did not allow her to want to leave. And it wasn't until her mother called out to her that she came to her senses.
¡Pendeja!
¿Qué está diciendo, pendeja?
¡Las tortillas!
So the music stopped. And the man vanished without leaving any trace from where he came from. But almost every night, the Sombrerón would come back and serenade Susana. And every day, she couldn't stop thinking of that man and patiently awaited his arrival yet again. Her mother started to notice how much thinner Susana was becoming due to a lack of appetite, as well as her eyes becoming swollen black from a lack of sleep. Susana was falling into the extreme depression, longing for the man to return and to sing for her for all eternity. Her mother knew right then and there that this was not a man of this world.
She's like, damn, my daughter's stigmatized.
And had some sort of malevolent nature. She knew that the devil was at work, and the mother then immediately went to church to let her know. And they let her know that her long hair needs to be cut off immediately and returned back to the church to be soaked in holy water and prayed for by the priests. It was only until then that Susana was finally released by the clutches of her sombrerón, and he never serenaded her again. And like many folklore, there are other variations to the story, as well as some versions of her sombrerón being on horseback traveling or traveling alongside with dogs or mules. And one thing that they all had in common was that they all had braided hair for some reason. Sometimes the animals are tied to the house of the victim to ensure that they know that that woman is marked by the sombrerón. In other variations, the victim noticed that when they would eat, that the food tasted like soil. And which was one of the reasons why the victims were unable to have any appetite for food. And lastly, those who were obviously marked by your sombrerón also always had their hair tied in two ponytails as a telltale sign that they have been spiritually captured by El Sombrerón. And the only way to be released is by cutting off their braids.
This is a story called... Well, this is what he titled his own story. This is it's called, again, Indian story.
No, this is a story.
He says, this story is about my terrifying sleep companion.
Sleep companion?
The fuck?
I wouldn't even have found out about this if it hadn't been for my strange fears and paranoia. For as long as I can remember, I have been deathly afraid of sleeping alone. One of the starkest memories of my childhood is lying flat on my back in bed, feeling too scared to close my eyes, thinking that if I do, someone will appear next to me. The weirdest thing is that I never imagined this monster or whatever it was harming me in any way. It would just always just lay on its side, watching me with shining, unblinking eyes. And I would be too afraid to do anything, too afraid to move or scream. This helplessness that I would supposedly feel in an imaginary situation like that pretty much destroyed my childhood. It had gotten so bad that I would scream and thrash around like a brat well into my teenage years if I was ever forced to sleep alone. Until I was 10 years old, I would sleep in my parents' bedroom on a separate cot next to their bed. Then, until my 14th birthday, I would force one of my parents to sleep next to me. And considering that I was raised in India, therapy wasn't even an option. But that didn't mean that my parents didn't try to get me over these fears. They tried sleeping next to me and sneaking out in the middle of the night, or sitting next to my bed and waiting until I fell asleep. But none of it worked. I would always wake up, sweating and scared out of my wits in the middle of the night whenever they tried this. I would then immediately scamper off to the bedroom and wake them up by whispering how scared I was, almost always giving them a heart attack in the process. If I had to guess, these fears started when I was 8 years old, when my grandmother gave me a doll of a clown that looked eerily similar to this thing. This was a clown from the horror TV show W-O-H, whoa, that my smart-ass dad and me watched around the same time, thinking I was too young to be affected by this stuff. He found out how wrong he was when I started screaming like a banshee when my grandma gave me that doll. My problems at night started soon after. I couldn't for the life of me close my eyes without thinking someone was going to be there when I turned around. On my 14th birthday, my parents finally put their foot down and forced me to sleep alone. I cried, pleaded, tried to justify that I wasn't really a scared little boy and that my fears were rational. But none of it worked, and so I finally started sleeping alone. And this is when I developed my strange rituals. I would drink exactly 2 glasses of water every night, 2 hours before bedtime, so that I would neither feel thirsty nor would I have to get up to pee at night. I would then make sure all the doors leading outside were closed, draw the curtains, and keep the bathroom light switches on. Definitely the most important part of my nighttime rituals was keeping the pillows in a straight line next to me where I slept to block off any space for any monster to try to sleep next to me. It took me months before I finally got used to sleeping alone. I wasn't comfortable by any means, but I would at least not be painfully sleepy the next day. Going to college was a godsend. I had a fucking single bed in a tiny room surrounded by hundreds of noisy boys like me. While many others found it irritating, that noise was like a lullaby to me, doing the job of a therapist for me. After graduation, I came back to my parents' house and began preparing to take exams for government jobs. And my rituals started right back as if nothing had changed. But I was at least sleeping better. It all came to a head when I got a job and moved into my own government-owned house with a double bed at the age of 26 just a couple of weeks ago. As my bedtime approached, I followed all my rituals. I drank my water, closed all the doors, drew the curtains, arranged the pillows, and slept comfortably. But things changed the next morning. When I woke up, I found that my pillows weren't there.
Oh.
They were neatly placed, one on top of the other, on the side table.
What?
The most terrifying thing about this was that it wasn't anything new. This had been happening all throughout my childhood. Each morning, the pillows I had carefully placed next to me would be gone. but I always assumed that it was one of my parents who had done this.
Now it's confirmed that it wasn't.
Especially my father, who was an early riser. But I was living alone now, and all my doors were locked when I checked them in the morning. I initially dismissed this, thinking that I might have forgotten to place them next to me last night. I was actually quite happy with this, as it looked like I was finally getting over my fears. But this happened again the next day, and the next, and the day after that. All of the fears of my childhood were back, stronger than ever. I was back to staying awake like an owl, only dozing off for a maximum of half an hour or so each night. And the pillows would be gone from the bed every morning. It was hell. Now, I wasn't a child anymore, so I didn't just assume that something supernatural was happening here. I tried to act like an adult, to think rationally, as I was too scared to even tilt my head to the left when lying on the bed. Maybe I was sleepwalking this whole time. Maybe that's how those pillows were moving at night all throughout my life. It was not something my parents knew about and instead chastised me for being so cowardly as a grown-ass man. But I needed answers, so I went out and got a video camera.
Hell yeah.
And placed it next to my bed.
Paranormal Activity.
It was what I found in the video that made me write this. I wasn't sleepwalking. It was my fears, my imaginations, my nightmares. They were real. My knees were trembling as I saw the strange tall man phase through my bedroom door. He picked up the pillows gently and neatly placed them on the table. And then laid down next to me. I jumped as he looked directly into the camera with those shining, unblinking eyes. I fast-forwarded the video and he stayed there for hours, just looking at the camera, not moving an inch. Before I woke up, he simply got up and walked away, disappearing through the closed bedroom door. I am beyond fucking terrified. I don't know what's happening, what that thing is, why it's doing this, or if even my life is in danger. I need help. I need this to end if I'm ever going to get a wink of sleep again. Guys, please, can anyone help me?
Do a flip. Do a fucking flip. Get him some milk.
Then the ghost was like, time to go night-night.
Now, the cool thing about the story is,
they helped.
I just read you guys part one.
Wow.
The dude became a pillow.
There is three more parts that I'm going to link on the episode show notes for you guys to go out and finish the story yourselves. I was going to read it, all four parts, but this was the shortest one.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
that's kind of long.
Yeah.
Y'all interested? Do it.
Do it. It's worth it. It's worth it. But yeah, that motherfucker. The thing that freaked me out was the fact that it was, again, tall, lanky.
Yeah.
But then he was picking up the pillows gently.
Just putting them like whatever.
And just laying down. I wonder how he was laying. Was he laying like with his hand on his, sexy? Or was he laying on his back?
Yeah.
Just looking at the camera?
I was saying looking at the camera, but where was the camera position?
Next to his bed. So I don't know if he just sat next to his bed.
Oh, imagine. Like in the freaking bedside, and like he's like, you see him right here, and the guy's over on the opposite side of where he's at, and he's just looking at it.
Just over his shoulder?
Over his shoulder.
Just breathing hot, say, just hot, evil breath on his ear.
Finish it off. We have the legend of La Ciguanaba that arose from Central America, primarily in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. Those who have been unlucky to have seen La Ciguanaba have described it as this beautiful woman with a lustrous body, long black hair, wearing a long white dress. Now, La Ciguanaba has been spotted along bodies of water in the countryside and prey primarily on unfaithful men. She lures the men into promising to have sex with her, and once they get close enough, she turns to face them and reveals her true form.
Aha, it's a trick!
Which is a grotesque, long, horse-headed face in which she kills them promptly after.
As long as it's only her face, it turns into a horse.
I was like, what happens if a dude's like all down bad? And he was like, fuck it. She still kills him? You think?
Now, the best way to ward off La Siguanaba
is to fuck it.
Is obviously to not have sex with a stranger in the middle of the woods.
I mean, if you're down bad, bro.
But if you want to take your chances to get your pickle tickled, then these are some ways to ward him off. Pulling your own hair. I don't know how that's going to ward her off, but I guess you don't like that kink.
That's my job.
No. You can't turn yourself on. This is not how this works.
And also, biting onto a machete, a metal coin.
Biting.
Like.
Oh, shit.
Like biting down on.
I mean, I'd run away from somebody to start biting machetes. I'd be like, you know what?
What I'm the done. Fuck?
You know what? I don't need this.
Or, of course, a necklace with a crucifix. Now, apparently, you can also ward off La Siguanaba by yelling, "No te vas a ir, María, pata de gallina," extremely loud 3 times.
By yelling, "Quiere llorar y no puede."
Quiere llorar. So roasting the ghost? Damn. No, roast the ghost.
Roast the ghost.
Roast
bro.
That. Damn.
Yeah. So now this legend has connections to Aztec mythology as well.
Quiere llorar y no puede. Quiere llorar y no puede.
Puta! Puta! She gets confused. She's like, what the f? She's like,
where are these voices coming from? I thought it was just one guy.
People start popping out just to do the fucking.
Everyone work. Heard the cue. Yeah,
yeah. Bunch of motherfuckers in soccer jerseys.
Hell yeah.
And she got fucked up she right now, dude. Up. She got wrecked, dude. Like, never her mind. Ears are ringing right now, dude.
She's like, I'm never going over there. Fuck the U.S. So it said that La Siguanaba was originally named the Siwewet, which stands for beautiful woman. Now, the Siwewet was actually a peasant woman whose beauty was immensely captivating and won the hearts of the god of storm known as Tlaloc. And they both had a child together while Tlaloc was at war. Siwewet had actually no motherly instinct to her bone and abandoned her child as well as began sleeping with other men while Tlaloc was at war.
She said, fuck them kids.
She's like, fuck them kids and fuck this guy too. Now, what Tlaloc didn't know was that Siwewet was actually planning on poisoning him in order to take his throne. Her plan quickly backfired when instead of killing Tlaloc, it actually turned him into a monster and began to wreak havoc in the local community.
She's like, oh no, I gave him the wrong serum. I didn't give him the poison. Shit. I gave him the fucking Hulk serum.
Fucking up. Now, when Tlaloc came to, he sought help from the Tetl. And with that, cursed the Siwewet and turned her into what is now La Siguanaba, which stands for hideous woman.
He's like, you try to curse me? I will curse you, everybody.
That's how they cursed her, huh?
She's like, no!
Fuck!
And so this transformed her, of course, into the horse-faced woman she now resembles. And cursed her to roam across the rivers, searching for her long lost son for all of eternity.
Dang, get shit on, dude.
Get shit on.
Do you think they call it? Do you think her face actually turned into a horse? Or do you think she just has like
just a long face?
Not even that. Just like abnormal. Just a little. Her teeth are just a little bit bigger than normal, but.
That's all it takes,
but
bro.
But people were more savages like, back
it's
then.
It's a horse face.
Pinche cara de caballo.
Cara de caballo.
That's fair.
She's like, what? And then...
Man.
I don't know what to say.
Nope.
Horsewoman.
Horsewoman.
I don't know.
Watch out with horsewoman.
But that's the good thing about ghost stories. That's the good thing about the different cultures. You don't know what you can expect when it's supernatural.
Exactly. Hell no.
You pulled out a horsewoman. Who was the woman with the no face? Was it you?
Yeah. No face over here.
The no face. Right? Like, yeah. I'm over here with this fucking sleeping pervert. Like,
you know. Pillows, bro. Hey, you got the pillow ghost, bro. He bites on pillows.
He technical as fuck.
He's a pillow biter.
He's not a pillow biter.
Pillow princess.
He's a pillow organizer.
He's a bitch.
Yeah, yeah, but ghost with ADHD, bro.
Yeah. Fuck. Imagine. Imagine that's why the... You know what? I'm not going to go there. All right.
There you go. Audible.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You know, we're sticking with the ghostly, spooky booty thing. Well, what were you guys calling it earlier?
Spooky dookie.
Spooky dookie.
Spooky booty, bro?
Well, we said spooky booty earlier, but...
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This was fun. Again... To me, this was kind of like the cop episode. There was none that kind of differentiated it in terms of like making it like a when I thought I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do Indian ghost stories. I thought I was gonna get more stories that were like. But what did I expect? Was I expecting like
the truth is out there?
No, not even like it's just ghost stories that happened in India. Like I was, what the fuck am I expecting? Like genies coming out from underneath the beds, and you know what I mean,
like Aladdin trip,
right? But nonetheless, they're creepy.
Yeah, yeah. That last story's
creepy. There was a lot of stories that were creepy that would have worked if this was a more visual kind of show where I could show videos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
But you know, maybe eventually we'll get around to doing an episode like that. Yeah. But you know, it's fucking nuts. It's crazy. Some of these stories were fucking... There were some pretty cool ones, but I just couldn't get no real-life sources for them. Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to read these just because it could just be a Reddit story.
Right.
You know?
I think all of them are not real-life sources. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, none of them... Like at least some are like, oh, this was by my uncle. This was told by my uncle. Some are just like, oh, here's a story. Here's Indian a story. Horror story. And it just starts. And you're just like, oh, there's no
context.
There's no context. Yeah. So, yeah. But thank you guys. Again, if you guys enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us. Add us on Instagram to you guys to see some of the videos, some of the things we've talked about in this episode. Weird History. Eerie Tales Pod. Again, if you guys haven't noticed, we have now become a bi-weekly podcast where we post an episode every 2 weeks. But if you guys need your more fix and you guys, you know, wanted other things to listen to, I have another podcast called the Tome of Monsters podcast, where it's a Monster of the Week episode. When the Monster of the Week, we're talking about the bad guys from movies, books, and video games, where we break down that monster, break down this creature to its core, where we talk about what influenced the writer, the creator, to create this monster. Mm-hmm. What's the lore behind it? Little fun facts about this monster or whatever. We have 3 episodes up already. We have one about Count Orlok from Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. We have one about the Cenobites. And one that we just released last week that's about Pennywise.
The All Float.
And, you know, some of these episodes are fun. And if you guys want, go listen to them. If you guys are a fan of this podcast, you guys are going to like that one as well, because I do not shut the fuck up. And you guys will notice that I bring some of the shit that I've talked about here into that episode in context. Like, for example, in the last fucking Pennywise episode, I have a segment where I try to, where I make an argument about how Pennywise, it is a Lovecraftian monster.
Oh,
there's little things like that where we talk about, you know, where we just do all sorts of weird shit. But again, if you guys want to listen to that, listen to that. That podcast is called the Tome of Monsters podcast. I'm gonna post that show's link on this episode show notes as well as Instagram. It's my buddy Lewis and my cousin Fernando. Both of them, Fernando, you know him from our roundtable episodes,
yes sir.
And you know Lewis, who's done I think 1 or 2 episodes with us. Well, I know one of them for sure was a creepypasta.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be strangers to you guys. You guys know who they are. But yeah, again, Tome of Monsters podcast.
I'm going to wait for that crossover, though.
That's going to happen.
Get ready.
It's going to happen. I think that's what's going to be I think I'm going to do a roundtable episode.
Oh, yeah.
Pod versus Pod.
That's Subaru versus Mitsubishi. Beetleborgs versus Power Rangers. Men versus women.
All right. Shirts versus skins.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, again, thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you guys can, please rate and review us.
Tits or ass.
Same. All right. Same thing with the other episode. podcast Tub of Monsters, please rate and review us. And if nobody has anything else to add,
spooky dookie,
we are the Weird History Eerie Tales Pod.